It's time for the only wrestling podcast on earth with two former Major League Baseball All-Stars, one four-time Stanley Cup winner, and a rock star, and myself, Dennis Farrell. Jason Kindle, who's here? What's up, Jason?
Everything's going good. Just getting ready for Christmas. I don't even know if you want to call him a rock star. I want to maybe call him like an innovator of punk rock music.
Lars, yeah.
But anyhow, we'll have to ask him that next time.
And the four-time Stanley Cup champion, Darren McCarty. What's going on, my friend?
What's up, Dennis, Jay? All good, all good. I know we're not going to talk much about it, but I thought that last night's TLC was one of the best WWE cards. And coming from the storyline guy, Jay, I dug it.
He loves the storyline. And the only reason we're not going to talk about it, because I'll be honest with you, Dennis and I have both been very, very busy and are going to watch it this evening. And then we will get back to you probably tomorrow night, which might be.
We'll have one more podcast coming out over the holidays. We banked a bunch of podcasts, so during the holiday Christmas season, you will not miss a show. We will be giving you a ton of episodes, whether we can make it or not. We have episodes for you guys. First and foremost, Jason, you touched upon it. Happy holidays, everybody. Hopefully, you'll be listening to this on the way to grandma, grandpa's, pa, ma, whatever. But tonight, we're taking it easy. We're doing a little Q&A. It's a short podcast. But we reached out to you guys on Twitter and Facebook and said, hey, you have any random wrestling questions for us? Just ask us. And we'll answer as many of them as we can get to. So without further ado, guys, we're going to start from Nick. Nick wants to know, who is your all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh, goodness. That's Nick, great question, because I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could say one off the top of my head, but if I had to,
oof. What about you, D-Mac? Why he thinks?
Oof. Mine's easy. Mine's always Stone Cold. I mean, I used to run around the dressing room, Austin 316 and stunning guys and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was like that was just the guy, the, you know, the double barrel fingers and everything, the attitude, because that was like right when we were winning cups in the mid-90s, he was coming on and stuff like that. So I just love that attitude you take it towards, you know, sometimes as an athlete, you know, you have this persona like a wrestler does, an alter ego. So you feed off some of your greatest ones. I'll tell you this, though, what's really cool, since we've all hooked up and been doing this wrestling, and no matter what we're talking about, but I have gotten so much more into it, and now my appreciation and understanding because of talking to not only the wrestlers that are our friends or friends I had, but understanding the intricacy of the psychology behind it. So, you know, cause like one of my favorite that has been around a long time that I really didn't ever much was AJ Styles, and just how he can, and when you go through his catalog, so he recent is just because he can fight anybody and make it look good, right? So even when he's fighting monsters like Drew McIntyre, or he's fighting, you know, a guy his side, Ricochet, he can go with both of them and great on the mic. And, you know, I like the all-around guys, him and Seth Rollins, and guys that just can own the moment, Jericho's, stuff like that, you know? My favorite heel, though, like, is fucking MJF. I hate that kid because I love his character. I hate his character so much.
Okay, so I had to pick. I had to pick between three: Jericho, Coco Beware. But my pick is the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Really? Oh, I thought you would have gone with Scott Hall, Razor Ramon.
I wanted to. He's in top five without a doubt.
Hey Jay, just on your Road Dog Jesse James thing, right? So, you know, we all know people don't know he's a writer and stuff, that's been, you know, behind the scenes and good buddies with Triple H. But I've been sniffing around and more than one spot that there's rumors that his contract comes up, he might pop up in the AEW, like Arn Anderson and
Billy Gunn is there.
Guys. So that's interesting. What's that? And Billy Gunn. Yeah,
Billy Gunn is in AEW.
So I know. And with his boys.
And I think more than anything, I was trying not to be like, okay, The Rock, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, Jericho. I love Coco Beware. I don't know why, but when I was growing up, I just loved him coming out with a bird on his. I mean, when I was little with a bird on his shoulder, and I loved him. But so Jesse James, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
You know who is like that, Jay? And that is, I'll let you answer after this. But like that is a guy that you look forward to every week was Junkyard Dog.
Junkyard
Dog. Chain around his neck and just that persona of coming out. And he was always quick matches, you know, doing his thing. But the Coco Beware reminded me of Junkyard Dog.
Absolutely. Dennis, what is yours?
Macho Man Randy Savage. From start to finish in his career, that guy was so charismatic. In watching him in the wheelhouse of being a kid and loving wrestling, they say that you were either a Beatles fan or a Stones fan, and I think the wrestling version of that is you're either a Macho Man Randy Savage guy or a Hulk Hogan guy. And I was a Randy Savage guy.
And I think you could put Roddy Piper in there, even though, easily. You know, on the far end, you know, because I think that, you know, it always felt, even when they were together, it was the fans. There's always, you know, just like The Rock and Stone Cold, you know, you're on one side. That's
so true.
Next question comes from Amy. Amy wants to know, I loved your interview with Gallows and Anderson. Which one of the two are your favorites?
Well, I'm going to answer. Darren's going to answer first and just say, just because I've conversed with him more since then and got to know him more, Doc Gallows. And you know what's great about, I think you learn from the interview and nothing I'm not telling anybody is just how, you know, what you see as far as good guys is what you get. And just sort of like, you know, answering, it's cool. See, I get it when people ask me questions about hockey. I never get tired of answering them because I want them to know. So sometimes, you know, you feel sort of stupid asking guys about, you know, some wrestling stuff. But it always goes to show you when they take the time. And it's, you know, it's not stupid. So just that. And that's just because I haven't texted with or talked on the phone to Carl Anderson. So, but he's another one who's. You know, those guys with the Bullet Club, and hopefully that stuff comes back with Omega, and that stuff's getting interesting too. So,
Amy, to answer your question, both of them, I couldn't pick one. And I just thank you so much, D-Mac, for answering first. I can't pick one. They're both good dudes. If I had to pick one, one's from Ohio, one's from Pittsburgh, I'd have to go with the Pittsburgh guy.
You know, I
why Pittsburgh people hate you, bro.
Well, you know what? He knows how tough it is out there. That's why.
I got it.
I've had more dealings.
You're right.
I've had more dealings with Gallows. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to have a meeting with him this week because I think, well, that's for a later conversation, not on the air.
Great tease right there. Great tease.
Thank you. You know what? I'm going to go throw a curveball and say Rocky Romero.
Good call.
He's been on all the interviews we've done. He's a good dude. Listen, Rocky is nowhere near the Dennis Farrell level because he's way above me, but he is the Dennis Farrell of their podcast. So I equate to him a little bit. So I would say Rocky Romero. So we'll move on.
Oh, the organizational. Oh, so you said Gallows and Anderson don't know how to press the record button either? Jay or I don't?
That is exactly what it is.
We can't do this show because we don't know how to push record without Dennis, but we love Dennis.
All right. Well, thank God you guys do. Let's see here. This comes from Alexander. Alexander wants to know, what is your favorite interview you've done so far? Now, Jason, you and I, we've gone back many years doing this podcast. It's weird to say many years doing this podcast, you and I now.
No. It's you're I mean, you can say many years after two, and it's been definitely two.
Yes.
I'm
gonna say I'm gonna say Steve Lemmy.
Interesting.
Steve Lemmy is really good, dude. That was one of my favorites just because I'm a big fan of Super Troopers and stuff. I think that's the beauty of it. And, you know, moving forward, too, it's like, you know.
I mean, Kurt Angle will be our favorite interview.
To more and more.
I mean, have Kurt Angle. Well, no, we haven't done it yet.
Hey, you know what? He may suck.
He's an Olympic hero.
He won't.
It's the interview. No, right, exactly. So, Dennis, that'll be up to you. You hit the record button wrong, piss him off.
I'm going to say Steve Lemmy. What about you?
Give me 30 seconds. That's another one I got, because every single one of the people that we've had on this show have been so generous and awesome. And I'd like to think that when they got done, I mean, because if you think about everybody we've had on the show with somebody, with the exception of somebody and their PR guy next to them, they've probably gone on longer than
they should have.
They expected. So I have to think about this, because it's really, really cool. The fact that all the interviews we've done, there's been guys that have stayed on, whether it be a comic, a wrestler, a baseball player, that have stayed on for longer and longer. And I'd like to think that that is us. But so give me like 3 minutes. I got to think about this one, because this is a big question for me.
D-Mac, can I guess yours?
Sure.
I'm going to say Eric Young.
Yeah, that was a special one there. Yeah, I think that's just because it's sentimental. Because we grew up 45 minutes from each other. And mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the story. And I love – and that's the cool thing, too, I think, about wrestling these days, and especially in the – where they're allowed to express it in the AEWs, the TNAs and stuff, is I see more appreciation of guys, you know, than maybe 10 years ago, sort of, you know, more of an appreciation of being there. Maybe that's because I'm doing it without fans, or maybe, you know, shock the system. But yeah, I'll say, you know, maybe just a slight nod to EY, but just because, you know, like I said, we grew up the same,
Chris Bay. I have to go with Chris Bay. Out of all, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to.
That was right before D-Mac right came on, right?
Chris.
That was. And you know what? That, and to Jason's credit, he's always said that dude, like that and I love to hear that. And I'm the same way, dude. When I meet somebody or have an interview and you know, something that needs to be known is this guy is awesome. So I pay attention, because Jay, he brought up Chris Bay. He's one of those guys. Oh, I'll check him out. And then you follow the storyline, and you know, with everything that goes on, and you know, you're at top of the TNA, and whether it's battle right now, I don't know whether it's Rich Swann or if it's going to get the Bull Boys, whatever.
Listen, he's such a young kid, and I'm going to tell you what, he was way above and beyond his years when he spoke with us, and I don't know, it was really neat to me, because listen, when I was his age. I didn't speak the way he spoke. I probably don't even now, but I mean, it was really impressive to me, and to watch him go out and win like two nights after we spoke with him was pretty neat to me. So Chris Bay, without a doubt.
Can I just say something here, Dennis, before you answer a question?
Sure.
Do you think, because that when you look around, right, and you see more there, it seems like there's more veteran presence. And I just speak to like TNA, where you mentioned Chris Bay and stuff, because, you know, personally, Rhino, who's been a veteran or whatever. And EY mentioned it, Eric Young mentioned it too, about how these young kids are receptive, you know what I'm saying, to the old way and stuff. And you can, and you not only see that in the ring, but you see that in their interactions with the fans and with the media and in interviews. Just like to that point, I think it has to go with culture in wrestling as it's changing, than it was when, like we said, when who's your favorite wrestler in the 90s?
And you know what? And before I hop on this, have Dennis answer this, is you know what's neat? And D-Mac, you just kind of pointed it out, is there's such a growing period for a younger guy into a veteran guy like a Rhino, and just to watch people that are on this show and to see how they are. And listen, Kurt Angle is going to be amazing. I'll promise you, just because this guy's a good dude. And, but it's neat to see, like, they're all like us. And, you know, we get all, Dennis's word, geeked out when we get to interview wrestlers, or I get geeked out when we're comics or whatever it may be. But it's so cool to see that, you know what? They're just normal. They're just normal. And I guess that's why I picked Chris Bay, because, I mean, you know, this dude was normal, busting his butt, trying to make a living, and he's done a pretty darn good job, and he's going to be more successful as a
year. Here's what I equate wrestling and sports with you guys, is we look at Chris Bay as a young guy, but he's been in the wrestling industry, what, 7-8 years? When you guys were rookies, you still put your time in Little League, college, minors. So it wasn't like you never played the sport before. You might have been a rookie in the MLB, but you played the sport. And I think it's
different. Dennis, I'm going to stop you right there, because it is different now. And the things that D-Mac and myself are talking about is, if we didn't act the way we did, I mean, it's a different generation. And that's why Chris Bay is one of my favorite interviews, is because he's supposed to be like, I could care less. Now, there needed to be a veteran guy in there, which maybe that's what happened with Chris, is that there was a veteran guy in there. They're like, hey, this is not how you do things. Because I know for a fact, myself and D-Mac, when we were veterans and someone was, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in sports today that doesn't need to happen. And that's, you could blame it on a manager or a head coach or whatever it may be, but I blame it on the veteran presence in the locker room. So somebody, I'll guarantee you, and if we have Chris back on, I'll guarantee you, and he might have even said it when we interviewed him, there was somebody along the way that, because when D-Mac and myself were coming up, it was like, no, you look in your, yeah, when you're, yeah, looking, you, Jay, look in your locker, that's it. Spoke when you're spoken to.
Yeah, but to Dennis's point, right? Your old man who was in the game.
I was fortunate. Yeah, that. Absolutely.
No. So back it up, because to Dennis's point, and I'm going to split the difference, right? Because here's the thing, in every sport, the evolution of the athlete. So even these wrestling kids, they got to get into this at 15, 16, 17, you know what I'm saying? And to be 23, to have, but they got to get somebody to get to them early, right? So I look at it that, when I was 15 and went and played junior B, and my coach Brian Drum said to me, if you want to make it to the NHL, you do 99.9% things better. And that for you is playing physical. Okay. Tell me what I had to do. Right. So it was always, you got to work. And it was always, I was told that. Right. So whether you're, and coaching comes along or whatever, but when you get pro and when you get your shot, right, like these kids do, to get in that locker room, to have this sense of coming in that shut your mouth, keep your ears open, spoke when spoken to, and then you'll get a long ways. I think you're seeing more of, and just because you see more behind the scenes and everything because of Instagram and YouTube and stuff, but that these guys are developing the characters and they've been doing it a lot longer, but they've also, too, the game's changed from when you and I were kids. We played all different sports. Right. So,
and you have to learn to change with the generations, without a doubt, D-Mac. But I think for the people out there listening, with the younger generation listening right now, is don't ever, ever forget somebody is always watching. Mm-hmm. And yeah, who especially will now, that somebody be? Now. Somebody is always going to be watching you. And that somebody might be somebody huge in whatever sport or whatever dance class or whatever you might be interested in, someone's always watching.
All right. Well, Joe wants to know.
Still, well, time out, Dennis. Your favorite interview? Because I want to know that.
Well, here's the thing. At the beginning, I think I said Steve Lemmy, but I'm changing it to Tommy Dreamer. Because here's why. when Tommy Dreamer came on, he was an established top of the game, amazing wrestler, icon in the industry, and he was like a 12-year-old boy talking to you and Dimitri. And for me, when this is my favorite part of the show, guys, is when we have a guest come on and they geek out about talking to you guys. And that right there, I think, is the magic of this show is, you know, we bring people on who are at the top of their game, and they turn into kids talking to you guys. And
yeah, you went on that one, Dennis. I'm not going to lie.
No, but Tommy Dreamer's like, you know, for all of us, so like he's ECW hardcore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's Dennis like, wins. He's but like, I mean, Chris Bay is mine, but Dennis just kind of trumped all of us. But
it's not a competition, Jay.
Well, you know what? I'm upset right now because Dennis just dropped a Tommy Dreamer because
Tommy's your favorite.
That was what me and you were talking about, D-Mac. Like, you got the Chris Bay, and that's what Tommy Dreamer does. Tommy Dreamer's the veteran in these locker rooms that are teaching guys how to yeah.
And he doesn't have
next
to.
Question.
Next question. This comes from Joe. Name one type of match that you hate to watch. And I'll start out, guys. For me, I am not a fan of hardcore wrestling. I don't like the tacks when they lay tacks out and dump someone on them. That hardcore wrestling thing.
How do you go from Tommy Dreamer is your favorite interview to
that interview?
Interview.
It's just but Dennis. Like, Jay, I get where you're going. But again, it's Dennis.
I'm going to tell you what. I was Tommy so Dreamer fired up with what Dennis just said. Now interview. I'm just like, yeah, okay, he does dude, like really?
I just, I'm not a fan of tax.
You're back down again.
Jay, don't even try to figure it
you're
out.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
I wasn't a fan of the fire matches. Like it's a nut. Like, I'm into watching them pull off. Like, my favorite move, I think, right now is the Montez Ford Street Profits frog splash, just because I think every time he gets higher and higher. And now he's took the Van Damme finish into it where it's the pop-up rollover. Which I always thought RVD just when he did that frog splash didn't get the hype, but it was that it looked like it just hurt at like he just nailed it every time. So I don't like fire. I don't mind them smashing each other with they think they know what they're doing, but anytime I don't like to see anybody get hurt. But when they pull it off, it's unbelievable.
Well, when they pull it off is what I was getting ready to say is. I don't like the ones where you might have three or four things, and this is watching on television, where you're like, oh, man, he didn't even come close. So those three or four, and it's usually with the younger guys trying to learn or getting it, but those are the ones that I don't like. And that's terrible for me to even say because they're learning, but – those are the ones that I don't like. It's the ones that are like, oh, man, I know you guys have busted your butts to get here. How about go to rehearsal in my mind? Go to the morning of and figure it out to where it's not going to look like that.
Okay. Let's see here. We got we're running out of time, so let's do some rapid fire questions. On the flip side, what's your favorite kind of matches real quick?
Hardcore.
You know what? I really like that, like eight man tag team or like eight, like when they're all doing the moves and, you know, the choreograph, I like whatever it is choreographed. I think my favorite is a good, you know, like Royal Rumble, like a good something. I like the clock. I like the drama of it. I like the WrestleMania once. You know, if I had to watch one match, because then you get all the wrestlers or whatever. But and it's because here's the thing, right? Here's for like entrance themes, you know, because you always look to see the pop or the entrance or
that's a question
you know,
coming
whatever
up.
Else.
And you know, these are how about this? How about it, we? Because I can sit here and talk with us like you, D-Mac. Let's try to give one because we don't have much time. Let's try to give one. Answer words if we can to
I
make
like
it.
Oh, okay. By the way, by the way, my
Dennis,
favorite.
No, Dennis, what's yours?
Well, wait.
I can do it, Jay. Can you?
No way. There's no way me and you can
all
do
right, what
this.
Was the question?
It's a test for us.
But, what was the question?
But my favorite wrestling type of match would be the old school 1980s bull rope matches. Where they're
That's
both,
not one word.
Well, you guys got to ramble on for a second.
Or a quick word, whatever yeah. you want to call it.
All right, well then let's do one word answers. Here we go.
The one like Loomis. Hey, the one like Loomis and Cameron Graves just said, or Grimes just said. Did you see that one? Where they're tied together. Did you say the strap?
Yep.
Or did you say the bullhorn?
Strap.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's a homework for you guys. Stan Hansen. Go watch a Stan Hansen match. That guy was.
What's the next question?
John Layfield before he was it. Okay. Name one wrestler you guys hate. Yeah, one word, guys. Let's see it.
You start. Dennis, you start.
Tito Santana.
Love Tito Santana, you jerk.
One word. Anyone? This is a podcast.
King Kong Bundy.
D-Mac.
Bradshaw.
Good one.
Bradshaw. JBL.
Yeah, that's JLB, that's a good one. Here's a good question. Nate, what is your favorite entrance song? And Jason, you cannot say, oh, you didn't know, because you say it on every show.
Oh, you didn't know?
I like that one. That's my favorite. You didn't know? Your ass better call. Somebody.
Jericho's.
That and the glass breaking. The glass breaking every time. Look out. That's ass kicking.
Boy, I want to go.
I come out of the dressing room, last one out.
I want to go off right now talking about my road dog, Jesse James, but I'm not going to. Oof. Go ahead, Dennis. Next question.
This is going to be more than one word question, because this one comes from A. A wants to know, do you think Kenny Omega is the right guy for the Impact versus AEW storyline that ties them both together? I'm going to say yes. No.
Yes, he is, because he's got the time to do it all, because Moxley doesn't have the time because it came up and Omega pregnant, right? So they had to change the thing with Mox and do, because he is, because you got to look at the storylines with the Bullet Club and with everything else, how it's going to all tie in. So he's the perfect caveat with the storyline with Don Callis, in my opinion. And it works out with him waiting his time in the tag team with Hangman BTE. Everything plays out from the storyline guy. It's good. He's the guy, in my opinion.
So do you think that the fans should look more into, like, and obviously you don't want to look it because it's kind of creepy, like the personal lives.
Picture it. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because that does, it's a huge, huge thing.
Don't, Jay, here's the thing. The evolution. If you're not watching WWE as the Kardashians and the fucking Empire and whatever he wants to do or whatever, that's its own entity. AEW, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, all this stuff, talking shop of mania. They are changing the rules. They're incorporating everything so that
D-Mac,
now
I'm talking about their personal life.
I'm a bigger fan of MJF because he's such a dickhead, because he's a good kid in real life, and they show little snippets of that. It's a different world. Being the elite is, they've figured it out and going, no, we're going to do it this way. We're all used to be a program that we have to watch wrestling this way. No. You can do that with the WWE as they keep trying to hang on. But as the players get more control, because it's the same thing in anything. But that's why they're changing it. And you absolutely have to pay attention to everything online, what they do, not when they're wrestling, because it plays into it. This whole storyline tie-up is probably, if you get down to it and it plays out in 2 years and how it all entangles into New Japan, to everybody coming back, to fans, to doing all this, in my opinion, is when you sit down and they had this plan when they were sitting in Japan, and it would be the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, you know, like it to me, it plays out that way. That's just how I see it. As dude, the Bullet Club's getting back together. Now they're going to six-man tag on this pay-per-view over to here, over to there, dude. Wouldn't that be amazing? Think about it as a wrestling fan, right? You got no AEW shows coming in, but oh my God, you got three AEW guys on this TNA that's down in Detroit. You know, like just something I see.
But D-Mac, what does this have to do with the pregnancy?
No, because that made it easy to kick start this in gear quicker. This plan of whatever, if you don't see in Moxley's reign and whatever, so he's stepping away. In my opinion, like, you know, rumors of coming back WWE, but whatever else, wasn't it. It was to run this train so they could get the momentum to get everybody positioned, to get the fucking Good Brothers positioned, to TNA, to get everything to fall into place. So right? Everybody had to get released. Everybody had to get, that's just my opinion as I see it.
So with Moxley having to step away.
That's how.
Yeah, with Moxley having to step away because his wife is pregnant and he's going to take some time off, that's going to put a big damper in a evasion angle, if you want to call it that, down the line.
No, because he always got Moxley there.
Right. Well, no,
and
what
the
I'm
way
saying,
that he
though,
went out as Kenny cheated and stuff.
Yes.
What?
No, but I'm agreeing with you. Oh. I'm just saying because he's stepping away.
It sounds like you're arguing with me.
Nope. You know, for me, though, I think Kenny's a good guy, but I would love to have seen this done with Jericho, and then you bring the Bullet Club in a little bit later to, I don't know how I would do the storyline, but I feel like Jericho would have been a bigger name going in. Like, Omega's huge, don't get me wrong, but I like the fact...
What's Jericho's relationship with Don Callis?
They've been best friends
can
longer.
You historically...
Yes. They've been best friends longer than Omega.
Right? Okay, all right. Now let's break it down, right? What does Jericho have going on, right? He doesn't have the time to do all this. This was the plan. And who doesn't say Jericho, it's not his second swipe around, right? As Moxley, our ammunition with the Inner Circle. Right? So the Inner Circle's still doing their own thing, and he's got his own thing, and it doesn't impede anything. One invasion... Right? Then there's defense of the invasion, you know, whatever else. I don't know.
All right.
I think because it had to be the good Kenny turn. And why did he turn? Jericho, we expect that out of him, right? Does it make sense?
That's just
how I look at it.
Kind of. I guess I was looking at from like name value. When if you put Jericho on any show right now, Jericho's up one of the hottest names of wrestling. And
right, Dennis, you just said it right there. And what happened? COVID happened. There's no live shows. Go to Kenny. I'm not saying maybe down the road we'll find out Jericho was supposed to be this, and because those fans, right, they're not pumping it out. I think what
Dennis is saying right there is that Jericho can go and talk. Yeah. He can, yes. I mean, everybody knows it's COVID. Jericho can go and can entertain right now on a mic. He's one of the special guys. He's like The Rock. He's like, you know, I think that's, am I right or wrong,
you
Dennis?
You don't think Omega's got that ability?
Like a Jericho? No way.
Different.
See, I don't think you've been paying attention and watching.
Maybe I haven't, but I do know that nobody can speak like
interviews.
Jericho can.
I understand, but to Dennis's point, I don't think you're given. You're right. There's no Jericho. But what I'm saying is Dennis could be right. If they were selling tickets to seats right now, it could be fill them all in with the Jericho invasion. But that might be in the next summer. But I'm telling you, you're wrong about Kenny Omega, because I didn't think he never talked. That's the whole at the tag team with Hagman, and wasn't he's going to talk? He's going to talk, but he talks now. I don't know. Am I wrong, Dennis? Do you not think that he can cut a promo right now? He's not the full entertainer.
Here's.
I think his promos are good.
I think that he is one of the best in the game, but I have to agree with Jason. Nobody is Chris Jericho right now. Only because I think Kenny Omega is.
I agree, but do you guys not? So do you not see it? No, there's no Luke Skywalker. That's Chris Jericho. So you already have him there. Why are you going to not take over everything else while you leave Luke Skywalker on that island for the last movie?
I will say this.
Like, I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you, D-Mac, where you've changed my mind, where Kenny Omega is the guy.
Is Kenny Omega Chewbacca?
Because of COVID, because of right now, because of the way things right. have changed. I'm sure it's changed on the fly.
You've changed right? my mind.
You know what I'm saying? I'm
is
not
he R2-D2? Omega right now is C-3PO.
No.
See, you're wrong. Here, you don't watch. See, everybody at home listening, Jason watches TNA. He doesn't give AEW the respect it deserves.
Here's what
it
is. Jason, here's what it is. Chris Jericho is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Kenny Omega is Luke Skywalker.
Yes, exactly. I can concur. I'll concur.
Kenny Omega is really damn good.
Dennis, will you?
So is The Rock Yoda?
In the last month, to 3 months, in the last couple months, is where I'm not saying if we're having this conversation 3 months ago, I'm more towards you have to show me something more. It's just because of what I've seen, and especially as of late, which I'm guessing you've seen more of than Jason.
Jason, do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If we have quick answers, which there's between me and D-Mac, there's no way
no
we can have a quick
thing.
Answer. I will have two more answers.
That's
me and D-Mac can do it. So, yes, we have another 30 minutes.
All right. This one comes from Pete. Pete wants to know, with the passing of Kevin Green, who also did wrestling for WCW, can you name one other athlete you think would make a good to great wrestler?
Well, you know, who's this from?
Pete.
Well, Pete, I'm going to tell you what. It's funny because I did text message and to us on the show saying, like, man, it's because he's only 58. And I don't know what happened. And it's just the saddest thing in the world. D-Mac was the first one to respond. He goes, it's so sad. And it's kind of like when we were playing our sports, that's when we were watching Kevin Green tackle it. It was just like one of those things where we all knew, but if there's one person like today playing football,
sport.
I got a perfect one.
Go ahead, D-Mac.
Sean Avery is MJF, but he's 100% all the time. Check out Sean Avery. He's a friggin' beauty.
I got mine right now. Darren McCarty.
Yeah, I would have been.
No, don't give me that courtesy chuckle laugh. I'm telling you right now, you can go wrestle.
No, I would have been. I could have.
I'll be the one right there. I'll be either manager or your tag team partner. Trust me, we'd do really good.
Back in the day.
I'm going to say Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a great villain.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking kid. He's probably athletic enough.
He's a Jericho.
Yeah. He is one of those guys that cuts a great promo when he gives an interview after a game. I mean, he has taken the art of interviews to a next level, and he's a trash talker.
Interesting. Very interesting. No, he don't care.
No.
And he is pretty damn good.
Because I was originally going to say Mike Trout because he's big. He's got everything you would want in a wrestler, but I don't think he shows the personality that I would want when
Trout
a wrestler.
Trout would be The Rock. Right.
Yeah. So, all right, listen. We'll save the rest of the questions.
No, I want one more question. That was not a good way to end.
You want one more question?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This one comes from Melissa. Melissa wants to know, what can smaller shows like Ring of Honor, NWA, and MLW do to compare with the bigger shows?
All right, Melissa, it's time to go.
Listen,
it's tough without fans, and the best thing is if what AEW and TNA are doing, and it brings up more affiliation and more of a territories like it used to be, you know, back in the day, that is a win-win for the that's the best thing.
Promotion.
It's like what I told Petey. Like what I told our buddy there, Petey. He, you know what I mean? It's not that you build alliances. Dennis, you never forget where you come from.
This is a behind-the-scenes thing, in my opinion, is the people behind the scenes, whether you're the owner, the GM, like a Vince, you have to be able to promote this to the right people, the right. I mean, well, and this isn't everything that you do, but
well, Jason, don't.
That's
forget.
How the small ones can get up. I mean, the promotion, the go get a, I don't know, somebody go get a Darren McCarty that knows wrestling and can pop in and help promote. You have to get the right people to promote it. And I truly, truly believe that, especially in this generation, you have to be able to promote it the right way. And you have to get either that one or two big names.
Well, Jason, you and I
and promote it.
You and I had this conversation probably a month ago when we were talking on the phone, and we were, I don't remember what brought it up, but you had kind of reminded me that, hey, remember when Impact or TNA was the small show? Nobody was going, nobody was watching. Look where they are now. And I guess that kind of says, stay the course. Find out where your fans are watching. Like, I like that NWA is just on YouTube, and their shows are great. It's old school wrestling. Stay the
and
course.
And I truly believe that if you get that one person, and it doesn't have to be a wrestler. It could be somebody from outside, like any of us. That one person that people adore is, and I'm totally making this, say George Clooney, and I'm just making this up, goes and starts promoting Impact. I'll guarantee you more people are going to start watching Impact. I'll guarantee you, that's just the way it works, because people want to back what the big, and it's wrong, don't get me wrong, but people want to back what the stars of the stars follow.
D-Mac?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You got a person, it's just like anything else. What's the major motivation? If it's money, you know, it's not going to be, you got to have the love of wrestling, and it's promotion, it's getting behind. So, and probably just like anything else, you know, you're not doing it to make a profit until, you know, everybody's into it. So you find the right win-win with the right people, anything can work.
That's true.
All right, there we go, guys. This is a Q&A holiday version of Wrestling With Q&A. Anything, guys, you want to promote real quick before?
I want to promote D-Max brand. I want to promote tomorrow night. We're going to – are you going to put this out tonight, Dennis?
Yes. Yep.
Tomorrow night might be a live show, because us here at Wrestling With needs to do – so we might do some live stuff tomorrow night. And I apologize for D-Mac and I. We just talk a lot. And you know what? There's nothing – that's not a bad thing.
It's not. People love you
it's
guys.
It's a good thing.
All right, guys.
Hey, if you love knowledge, come on board.
That's it. All right, guys. Enjoy your holidays. We will talk to you guys soon.